Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lauren Windsor, who is a multimedia journalist who blogs under the name Lady Libertine. She's also the host and producer of The Undercurrent, a grassroots political TV web show on the Young Turks Network. And she's also a correspondent for Background Briefing, covering the 40th ALEC conference in Chicago. Welcome, roving reporter. How are you doing there?
Oh, I'm good. It's been crazy.
So the credentials that we prepared for you from Background Briefing for KPFK, I take it they didn't impress the ALEC people?
No, they didn't. I went to directly to the media registration, and when I got there and said Background Briefing, they looked at me with a kind of puzzled face, and you know, I had registered online prior to going. I didn't get a confirmation on that. But on the website for ALEC, it said media may register in advance online, but regardless, they'll have to go through the application process on site. So I brought that up. I brought that to their attention, and you know, they didn't seem very concerned about it. I spoke with Director of Public Relations for ALEC, Bill Meyerling, and you know, I had emailed him. I said, you know, I applied early. You didn't send me a reply, but I assumed that was because I was going to have to register on site as per the website. And he was like, well, registration closed a week ago, and we only opened it to media outlets that were local to Chicago.
Well, I'm devastated. I thought my name would do the trick, and
so did I.
Furthermore, you know, they may think that KPFK is a left-wing operation, but I'm considered the resident right winger here. You know, I'm the agent of the CIA. Why didn't you tell them that? You know that.
Well, I presented them with a letter requesting the press credentials, the one that you signed for me. And I think that the Pacifica masthead on the letter was probably the death knell for my ability to get in as a credentialed journalist.
I see. Of course, we give right-wing people equal time here, but I guess they're not aware of it.
Well, I tried to explain that.
I'm kidding.
I can have you speak with Ian, or I can have you speak with the station manager, and you know, we present a news program that's in-depth analysis of domestic and foreign affairs from experts, from policy experts. And he was not impressed. He was not swayed whatsoever. So I've been trying to glean whatever information I can from, you know, being in the public areas of the hotel. It's been hard, though, because there's a big protest today from several labor groups.
Well, tell us about that, Lauren Windsor, again, a multimedia journalist who blogs under the name Lady Libertine. She's also the host and producer of The Undercurrent, a grassroots political TV web show on the Young Turks Network. And she's also Background Briefing's correspondent covering the 40th ALEC conference in Chicago. So tell us about the demonstrations that took place. My understanding is that there were a number of arrests as well, and that people were wearing hoodies in reference to Trayvon Martin, because ALEC, of course, are famous for pushing this model law around the country known as Stand Your Ground.
Yes, so their trademark legislation that they've come under fire for, and it's really raised their notoriety, has been the Stand Your Ground laws, but also the voter ID laws in various states that are, you know, requiring voters to show ID. So in those states, you know, they're saying that this is an attempt at voter suppression. The protest today had about 2,700 people. That was a Chicago Police Department estimate. They had the street in front of the hotel blocked off. They had set up a stage. The various labor unions, IBEW, AFL-CIO, Teamsters. And then towards the end of the protest, I believe the number is five. It was five protesters that were arrested.
So what was the idea of getting a message to this incredibly secretive group that are meeting in this hotel that apparently, you know, you weren't the only person who couldn't get in? I don't think they'd let any press in unless they were, what, I don't know how far to the right you have to be to get let in. But my understanding is that it's a highly secretive operation. So
it is highly secretive, and even those that are credentialed, the very few that they've credentialed, only have access to certain panels. So, like, the task force workshops are closed to the public, and those are the meetings where they have these in-depth policy discussions where they're introducing model legislation.
And to largely Republican state legislatures.
It is. I was able to get one of the books, and, you know, when you go through the ALEC alumni, even, like, listed within their book for Congress, I think it was all Republicans and one Democrat. The Democrat was Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm. The senator from West Virginia.
Senator, yeah, right. From West Virginia. So this is all state legislators, state senators, state congressmen, and they're pushing these various bills. I mean, you can see the ALEC imprint on so many of these different national Republican, like, right-wing initiatives for, you know, rolling back abortion rights, for requiring voter ID. But there's also legislation that pushes the use of coal. So the American Petroleum Institute is here, the various coal groups throughout, like, Ohio. I spoke with some of the representatives from the Ohio Coal Association last night.
So
they were explaining to me the virtues of clean coal.
Which is a myth, and if it does exist, it's only because of government research, and the coal industry has not put a dime into clean coal research, but they keep saying it exists when it's entirely theoretical. So that must have been a fascinating conversation.
Oh, it was. They told me that 95% of the smoke that comes out of smokestacks is water vapor. It's like, well, they were telling me, like, will somebody please tell the Sierra Club? It's not smoke, it's water vapor. But it wasn't a very convincing argument.
So, but I'm trying to get a sense, though, Lauren Windsor, of whether or not the people, these Republican legislators that have come to this 40th ALEC anniversary, and ALEC has been funded by major, major corporations. But when their existence was exposed in 2011 and there was a leak of all of their, a lot of their model legislation, a considerable amount of documents were given to the Center for Media and Democracy. Since they were exposed, 49 major corporations, including Walmart, Bank of America, and General Motors, broke off their affiliation with ALEC. So you would think that somebody within ALEC would get the message that people are trying to smoke them out, and when you expose them to the sunlight, it doesn't look too good.
No, it doesn't. Effort on the part of ALEC at Damage Control in June, they sent a letter to membership saying that only legislators would be able to introduce model legislation for the group. I mean, it still is a collaborative effort between parties. So there's the public sector members and the private sector members. But previously, you know, the business leaders had been able to bring forth legislation. Supposedly, according to this email that Politico obtained, they're only allowing legislators to introduce the bills. I don't know what real effect that will have on their process for introducing legislation. I think it's kind of a nominal, superficial gesture.
But as far as I know, that even since the Center for Media and Democracy exposed them, they still are alive and well. They're having their 40th meeting in Chicago, which you're covering. And no fewer than 62 Stand Your Ground and voter ID laws have been introduced so far this year based on these model bills framed by ALEC. And that's 10 Stand Your Ground bills passed in two states and 52 legislative moves to restrict voter access adopted by five states. So they're not out of business by any means.
Oh, no, they're not. The groups that you had mentioned earlier, some of them, the corporate members that had quit, according to the Center for Media and Democracy, 55 of the corporations that were part of ALEC didn't renew their subscription or their membership up to June of this year. So most current numbers, they've lost 55 members up to June. That doesn't mean that they're out of business by any means, though.
Well, who's left, though? Some, I mean, talk about naming and shaming. You'd think that, because my understanding is big companies like Verizon are still involved.
Some of the ones that have left, like the really high-profile ones were like Coca-Cola, Wells Fargo, Merck, Sprint. But they still have a number of corporations and legislatures.
Well, give me a sense of the big names that are still there that can be named and shamed. Because I'm always amazed at so many people on the political left, you know, see the Koch brothers as these huge boogeymen, which I think they are, but yet people still buy Bounty paper towels and Dixie cups and Georgia-Pacific.
Biggest sponsor is Reynolds American. So big tobacco. That's at the president level of sponsorship. There's, I believe, four different tiers. So at the president level, you have Reynolds American. At the chairman level, you have K-12, Peabody Energy, How Many Walks, the U.S. Chamber Institute for Legal Reform, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, Exxon Mobil, the Cigar Association of America, SPN. At the vice chairman level, you have Celgene, BNSF Railway, Pharma, UPS, and the Illinois Policy Institute. At the director level, you have Cloud Peak Energy, CenturyLink, Takeda, TransCanada. So listeners out there should be familiar with TransCanada as the ones pushing the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline.
Well, it sounds like the list that you've gotten a who's who of the polluting industries.
They are. There's others like Wells Fargo and Eli Lilly, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, that are they're actually at the trustee level. So I think that perhaps some of these corporations that may have had a larger stake in membership, a larger contribution, have scaled back their involvement.
But still, the group is alive and well, and even though it was founded in 1973, it's done an awful lot of damage. It remained under the radar for so long and was only recently exposed, and it's still having its 40th get-together, and 466 ALEC bills have been introduced by state legislatures so far this year, spanning all 50 states as well as the District of Columbia. So just in closing, give us a sense of what happened on the street and who's paying attention.
Labor really came out in force for this. Their problem is that ALEC has pushed bills to keep wages artificially low. One of the biggest things is the right to work. So pushing the national right to work bills across the state. That was really brought to a head by Scott Walker, if you'll remember, back in Madison. And that was at the behest, really, of the model legislation from ALEC for the right to work. Unions know that ALEC is anti-union, and that's why they showed out in force today. But inside, you wouldn't be able to tell that it had any effect, aside from the enhanced security. So it was virtually impossible to move around on any of the floors without having a security guard ask you who you were, where you were going, what you were doing there.
And you're staying at the actual hotel where all the legislators are staying, and the ALEC people, right?
Yeah.
And still you couldn't slip in and flutter your eyelids and whatever else you do?
No, not quite. Okay. I've been talking to people, though, in the public spaces, and there's just really a dismissive tone to the concerns of the protesters. They really do believe, these members of ALEC, believe that what they're doing is in the advancement of legislation to create a friendlier business environment. Their whole mantra is limited government, free markets, and federalism. They think they're advancing those objectives with what they're doing, and they think that it's, we introduce this legislation in the public. All becomes public. It has to go through committee and move through the state houses. So people have the opportunity to amend it as they see fit. And if they're not taking part in that process, then that's not our fault. We're above board in that respect.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Lauren Windsor.
Thank you, Ann.
Again, I've been speaking with Lauren Windsor, who's a multimedia journalist who blogs under the name Lady Libertine. She's also the host and producer of The Undercurrent, a grassroots political TV web show on the Young Turks Network, and she is Background Briefing's special correspondent. on the site of the 40th ALEC conference in Chicago, where she was denied entrance in spite of presenting them with credentials signed by me. So I'm still devastated. Thanks again, Lauren. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Claire Goldsmith. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.